This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 221, for the weekend of February 20th through February 22nd. This is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Art, how are you?
Well, I don't know if you've heard or not, but it's been single digits out here, and it's going to continue being that way. I heard a low of like -9 tonight. So it's that kind of cold where your bones just ache even once you warm up, kind of a thing. So I'm just doing okay.
Well, how does that compare to last year at this time?
I couldn't even tell you.
All right, well,
moment to moment kind of guy.
Okay, so your long-term memory has frozen off of your brain?
Yes, pretty much.
All right, well, I wish I could say last week's box office was ice cold, but it was actually pretty hot for one movie, so let's talk about how the box office did last week. For last weekend, and I'm going to take a moment to make sure that I don't do the 4-day. This is the 3-day, so February 13th through the 15th. We have at number one, 50 Shades of Grey with $85.1 million.
Mm-hmm.
At number two, Kingsman: The Secret Service at $36.2 million. At number three, The SpongeBob Movie, Sponge Out of Water, $31.4 million. At number four, we have American Sniper at $16.4 million. And at number five, Jupiter Ascending, somehow going downward, with $3 million. And there's your top five. So, Art, what do you have to say about 50 Shades of Grey?
I didn't see it. I dodged that bullet. Brittany's actually going to the movies by herself this Sunday. And maybe she'll go see it without me. We'll see how that goes. I'm glad to see Kingsman is, although not at the top, it's doing well. It's currently at about $45 million on a $81 million budget. So it's looking at it'll clear that and be profitable. Because I've seen the trailer. It does look good. I'd like to see it. Everything else is just kind of just moving down the list. You know, the 1, 2, and 3 just moved down 2 slots. Even the 4 did the same, Seventh Son. So no big surprises. Good turnout for 50 Shades.
What's notable about this last weekend is that the total that 50 Shades of Grey brought down is the second highest ever for a February opening.
So 50 Shades, what is it? Darker, 50 Shades something will move to a different slot in the year.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just another, I don't know if you want to say it's a string, but the formula that Hollywood has, you know, figured out that it's a very popular, albeit might be terrible book, ends up being an even worse movie, but a lot of people came out in droves to see it.
They did.
The number one, by the way, I don't have the actual total in front of me, but Passion of the Christ in 2004 was the highest. I think that was 90 okay. million plus. So I don't know what we're gonna learn from this. Just whoever can avoid seeing it, good on you, because if we look at the Rotten Tomato score for 50 Shades of Grey, it might be the highest millions per percentage points average, because it's a 25% on Rotten Tomatoes. So basically all I'm saying is the highest, an 80 million plus on a movie that was, in the 20th percentile or in the, the 20-ish range.
Right.
You don't see that very often. You don't see that very often, which is not necessarily a good thing. It's probably bad. I don't know. And the reverse always works for, as far as critical acclaim. that Oscar winners usually do not make a boatload of money.
Right.
So I'm all over the place here. So yeah. So I am lucky that I have one of the few employees that is in education that doesn't read very much. So there was no end. So she wasn't. We didn't have to go see Gone Girl, and we didn't have to go see 50 Shades of Grey. So I will count myself lucky.
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
I was going to say. No, that's okay. Brittany went and saw Gone Girl with the same girl who she's going to see the movies, going to the movie with this weekend. So, like I said, hopefully they'll choose 50 Shades of Grey.
So, random friend of Brittany, thanks for taking the bullet for art.
Yes.
All right. So this is part of the show where we close the book on talking about the box office, and we look ahead to what's coming out this weekend in theaters. So, Art, why don't you tell us about the first movie?
I will. The first movie on our list, Hot Tub Time Machine. No tomato meter score yet. Two reviews counted, both of them rotten. 92% want to see it out of 25,000 people. Hot Tub Time Machine director Steve Pink returns to the helm for the sequel set 10 years in the future and starring Rob Corddry, Adam Scott, Clark Duke, and Craig Robinson, Jason Buchanan, Robbie. Rated R for crude sexual content and language throughout, graphic nudity, drug use, and some violence. Comedy directed by Steve Pink, written by Josh Held, 1 hour and 35 minutes. Starring all those people we just named, plus Chevy Chase. And that, oh, and Colette Wolfe. And that is all there is here. Not a lot.
Yeah. Is this a get you to the theater in single digit weather?
I don't know. I am interested in seeing this movie. I watched the first movie and I really enjoyed it. The biggest strike against it is no Cusack.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Why? I'm a big Cusack fan.
No, so I.
That's a draw.
Me too. But if I looked at all the things that I enjoyed in the original, he wasn't at the top. He was kind of a straight man for me in this one. I definitely enjoyed Corddry, I think, the most, or at least, you know, his storyline in the first one, even though.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing. Incidentally, the screenwriter is the same screenwriter who did the original. But I don't know. It just seems that the well might be dry on this one. I don't know. One of the most inventive things, or one of the funniest parts of the movie, was the storyline with the concierge.
Yeah.
With Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you'd have to, can lightning strike twice with that? I don't know. I'm going to sit here and be pessimistic, and then I'm going to be pleasantly surprised when it's better than I think.
You know, that's probably about right. Cause you know, I was not interested in seeing Hot Tub Time Machine. I only saw it, because it happened to be on at somebody else put it on at their place. And then I watched it and I enjoyed it. And I was like, okay, So yeah. Let's think badly about it and then enjoy it when we actually see it. Lowered expectations.
You know, of the myriad of movies that if I could choose to go through, this would probably be one of them. You know, if I could, you know, jump in a time machine with my three friends and go back to the 80s.
And realize,
you know. Everything was supposed to happen for a reason.
Right.
Or maybe not, but yeah. Anyways. All right. So now I'm going to talk about another movie that I've never heard of that surprisingly has a pretty high Rotten Tomatoes score. This movie is called The Duff. 89% on the tomato meter. Out of 9 reviews, 8 fresh and 1 rotten. So we're a little premature here as far as it being reviewed enough to get a valid Rotten Tomatoes score. And out of the audience of 10,855, 91% want to see it. So here is the description. Bianca, played by Mae Whitman, is a content high school senior whose world is shattered when she learns the student body knows her as the Duff, which stands for Designated Ugly Fat Friend, to her prettier, more popular friends played by Skylar Samuels and Bianca Santos. Now, despite the words of caution from her favorite teacher, Ken Jeong, she puts aside the potential distraction of her crush, Toby, Nick Eversman, and enlists Wesley, Robbie Amell, a slick but charming jock, to help reinvent herself. To save her senior year from turning into a total disaster, Bianca must find the confidence to overthrow the school's ruthless label maker Madison, Bella Thorne, and remind everyone that no matter what people look or act like, we are all someone's Duff. Rated PG-13 for crude and sexual material throughout, some language in teen partying. Directed by Ari Sandell, written by Josh A. Kagan, and 1 hour and 41 minutes. Also has Allison Janney and Romani Malco, who you might remember from 40-Year-Old Virgin. He was also in Las Vegas. Thank you. So, yes, The Duff. What do you think, Art?
I am interested way too much for my own good. But, you know, I liked, what would I compare this to? Easy A, Mean Girls, probably a few others that really fall into that, high school teen rom-com, dramedy, whatever. Yeah, I like this sort of thing. I don't know. Will I go out and see it? Probably not.
It's interesting. I'm sorry. I was going to say, this is interesting that this looks more like an indie movie to me. But it is a wide releaser, so.
Yeah, I've seen the previews all over the place. I mean, even before I watched the a longer length trailer right before the show started, I've seen it all over the place. So.
Yeah, we'll end up watching it. I'm sure once my teenager gets wind of this, she'll want to go see it. All right. So let's go to the third one.
All right. Last but not least, McFarland USA. 67% on the tomato meter, 15 reviews counted, 10 fresh, 5 rotten, 87% want to see it out of 6,000 users, 6,600. Those numbers just keep getting smaller and smaller. 25,000, 6,000, diminishing returns here. All right, this is another long one, so really strap in. From Disney comes McFarlane. The true against all odds story of the 1987 McFarland High School cross-country team in an economically challenged community, Disney. Rated PG for thematic material, some violence, and language. It's a drama directed by Nico Caro, written by William Broyles Jr., Christopher Cleveland, Bertina Gilois, Grant Thompson, Chris Cleveland. 2 hours and 9 minutes. We have Kevin Costner, Carlos Prats, a lot of people, nobody I recognize.
I recognize Maria Bello. She was on ER for a while, and I think she was in Grown Ups. She was one of the wives in Grown Ups.
Okay.
You probably recognize her if you saw her in something.
Oh, I'm sure. Nobody I recognize by name or by the tiny thumbnail pictures they use. How's that?
Well, you got to fit all these people on there.
I know, so many. So have you seen the previews for this? Do you know what this is about? I mean,
yes.
I know a little bit of what this is about.
Yeah, I saw the trailer, and it just looks like another Disney sports movie.
Yes.
Even though from the sports blogs that I follow or read on a semi-regular basis, that it's actually better than the trailer looks.
Well, the trailer looks good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And a lot of the struggles of the American Mexican immigrant, blah, 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 blah. So that's close to my heart. It looks interesting, and I'm always down for a sports movie. So I don't watch sports, but I love sports movies.
Yes, I think we've talked about that phenomenon before.
Oh yeah.
I mean, sure. you know the story, but you really have to have the performances to carry it. I mean, that's what makes a good sports movie. If someone either inhabits a character or someone just gives a real strong performance, and they're saying that Costner does that very fact. So from what I understand, McFarlane is in Central California.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if we'll be taking the family out to see this, but I would definitely watch it when it gets on cable, because I like Kevin Costner.
Yes.
All right. So that covers the three movies coming out in wide release. So now we can stop talking about new movies and let's talk about what your glorious hosts have watched over the 2 weeks, because we missed a week last week. So, Art, what have you watched over the 14-plus days?
Okay. Well, you know what? So I sent an email to you and Tony after we had our conversation a couple weeks ago, because the very next movie I watched was Pacific Rim.
Okay, I'm going to stop you for just a second. I've told you multiple times, but Mr. CEO Backseat Producer shows up, and oh, he watches it right after that. So obviously, my work—I mean nothing to you. All right.
You know what? You know what? It wasn't even my suggestion. It was Brittany's.
Oh, okay.
I did not even mention the conversation. She's like, "Let's watch this." I was like, "What?" And I was like, "Okay," because I reorganized all the DVDs because Aubrey has been playing with the DVDs constantly, moving them on the shelf, stacking them on the TV stand, on her chair, on the floor, knocking them over. And it was finally driving me nuts. So I rearranged all the shelves and I put all the DVDs that are hers or cartoons or whatever, blah, 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 on the two lowermost shelves. And then I moved everything up and I'm like, don't touch anything above this shelf on penalty of going to your room and getting a spanking because I'm tired of this.
Wow, corporate punishment art. All right.
Yeah. So I made one shelf just of movies that I want to see that I haven't seen that I own. Okay. And then the two shelves above that are other movies that I'm keeping in my collection, but that I have seen. Okay. So I'm like, anytime you want to watch a movie, you can pick a movie off of this shelf and we'll watch it. I will happily watch on anything on this shelf at any time. And that was the movie that she grabbed. She grabbed Pacific Rim. So we went and we watched it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Great movie. I was very happy with it. Happy to have finally watched it. Wish I had watched it a lot sooner. Wish I had seen it in the theater. And Brittany actually enjoyed it. So she is expanding her movie horizons, in a big way. To the point where we were looking for a movie to watch the other night, and she's like, do you think I would like this movie? I'm like, I don't even know anymore. I don't know who you are, but I'm very happy.
I was just going to say that I'm glad that you enjoyed Pacific Rim.
Yes.
And, you know, there were definitely dull parts in the movie for me.
Oh, I really didn't feel. I was riveted the entire time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, right. I really enjoyed it. And I don't know if it was just, 2 years of anticipation or
yeah,
what.
Yeah, Well, when I got the Blu-ray, it's, I watched that first encounter with the kaiju.
Yes.
And then the Battle of Hong Kong, to me, was the best part of the movie. And as soon as that part was over, the movie kind of trailed off.
Okay.
For me. But yeah, and we had a 20-minute conversation, my friend and I, after the movie, talking about, about the sword.
Right, right.
If you could do all, at the where we're at with, military technology, the sword is what you come up with. But anyways.
Well, okay, but here, it's. I think there's the whole. It's just when you see dealing with something that scale of mass, you lose something with because they had the plasma weapon that was very destructive, but that it had a limited amount of shots for whatever it was consuming, whereas a sword, it stays a sword no matter what, and it's very effective when it's being driven by that much mass. So I understand that point.
Yeah.
But anyway, neither here nor there.
Okay. Good.
So we followed that up with Snowpiercer. She went looking through the Netflix queue, and because I was talking about how I want to get things cleared out of my queue. So she has just been on fire with picking the things to watch. And so we watched Snowpiercer. And have you seen Snowpiercer?
I have not, but I definitely want to.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed most of the movie. Yeah, I felt like, see, I don't want to color your perceptions here, but okay. I really felt like the end of the movie fell apart for me.
Oh, okay.
That was, you know what, there are many people whose opinions I respect who thoroughly enjoyed that movie beginning to end. I am not one of those people.
I think of all the people that I've heard that have seen it, present company excluded, have really enjoyed it. This is the first time I've heard about any problems with the ending. So
yeah, my personal
right.
opinion. You know, right. I'm not.
Hey, I just said the same thing about Pacific Rim, so go figure.
Right. Yeah. You know. So there you go. But you know, it was still worth seeing. But I don't need to ever watch it again.
Right.
But okay. Definitely worth seeing. I watched The Bourne Legacy. That was another one of those, woke up early, you know, decided to go watch something, scratch that one off the list. Really enjoyed it. I enjoyed how it was set concurrently with the Bourne movies.
Okay.
I didn't truly understand, you know, it was called The Bourne Legacy, and it's really about the fallout of what happens with Jason Bourne and how it affects other people who are in similar programs, and I really enjoyed it. A lot of good action, good parts. It was good. I was happy. A good follow up to the other Bourne movies.
Okay.
I watched the first episode of Agent Carter, the 2-hour premiere, and I'm definitely enjoying it.
Yeah, I'll talk about Agent Carter when it comes to my turn.
Okay. I watched there on Netflix, there is a Avengers Iron Man Captain America team up movie that I was just scrolling through, and it caught Aubrey's eye, and Aubrey's like, I want to watch that. I'm like, sure, no problem. I will put that on. And it was just sort of this kind of a Marvel team up kind of a thing that just really focused on Iron Man and Captain America and their interaction with each other. And it was good. It was a lower quality. It was computer animated, but not, it was definitely a kind of, had a direct-to-video feel for it. I didn't catch what year it was put out, how old it may or may not have been. This was the first I heard of it, and it just happened to be up on Netflix. But I enjoyed that. And then for the rest, have you seen the Home trailer? The new DreamWorks from the creators of How to Train Your Dragon and what was the other one that they referenced?
What was the title of the movie?
It's called Home, H-O-M-E. It's a little purple alien with...
Oh, yes. Okay, so if I remember correctly... That movie is kind of based on the short subject that was before, I just forgot what the movie was called. Was it Peabody and Sherman? I think it was Peabody and Sherman.
Really?
Yeah, it's about a race of aliens that are trying to find a planet.
Right.
Yeah.
There was something to do with that in Peabody and Sherman? I don't remember that.
Yeah, the very beginning. I could be mistaken. But there was the main character, you know, because every time he would walk into a room, everyone's like, oh, man.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, I think so. It's been a while since I watched that movie.
But, I'm going to have to.
Or I might be thinking of another DreamWorks. Maybe it was the one with the turkeys, Freebirds.
I didn't see that one.
Maybe it was that one.
Maybe Freebirds. I didn't see
but,
Freebirds.
But yeah, but continue about the trailer.
Okay, so the trailer looks really good, and I think it's, what's his name? The guy who plays Sheldon as the main character?
Yeah.
And really funny. Brittany wants to see it, and I'm sure Aubrey will not complain about going to see that one. So that is one that we will definitely go see. I think that's coming in March, if I remember correctly. A new, old man action movie. I believe it's Liam Neeson and Ed Harris. Run All Day or Run All Night.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. You know, two guys, somebody's, somebody's son dies and somebody wants to kill the other one's son, and it becomes this kind of old man fight, which is really sad to say, but we're just getting a lot of those now, you know, old man action heroes.
Showdown at the Assisted Living Corral.
Yes, very much so. Fantastic Four trailer gives me some hope. I don't know. Have you seen this?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I don't know the thing.
Okay. I'm saying it gives me some hope. Yeah. I'm not chomping at the bit to see it, but I'm interested. Show me a little more and I'll come to a decision. And then one other thing, just randomly out of the blue, after I finished watching Total Recall, I believe it was the first episode of season 2 of Helix was on. And I started watching that. And I was like, this is very interesting. So I may have to go back and find the first season of that.
Good luck. No, I have nothing to base that on. I talked about Helix last time.
Right.
I talked about Helix last time.
That's kind of why it caught my eye. I said, let me watch a little bit of this and see. So, and that is everything I have for share time.
Well, Art, thank you for your commitment, because I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm 9 things you watched last week.
Yeah.
Which is going to be quite a comparison to me. I haven't really watched anything. With the exception, my daughter has been forcing me to finish the run of Roswell.
Okay.
So we've gotten through 3 seasons of Roswell. I like season 2. I enjoyed season 1. Season 3, it kind of got off the rails a little bit. Kind of focused more on relationships between characters as opposed to the science fiction, you know, the overarching story of people are out to get them kind of thing.
Right.
One thing that I was very interested in is Ronald D. Moore. He was writing episodes for that show all the way to the end. And, you know, I didn't know that. I mean, so this was, I believe, as far as his arc goes, he went from Next Generation to, I think, to this. And I don't know what he did, because Roswell ended in, like, 2002. And I think there's a gap of time between Roswell and Battlestar. And now I think he's executive producer on Helix.
Okay.
So... But, you know, you never, you know, even though his name is on it, I've learned that sometimes that there's still other writers, but for some reason his name is the one that goes on the...
The primary, Yeah,
primary thing. So I enjoyed it. It was definitely worth watching. My daughter's very sad, even though the internet being what it is, there are fans that have put together a season 4 audio drama.
Nice.
I don't know how good it is.
Right.
And I told my daughter about it, but I'm letting her run with it. I don't think I'm going to try to chase it down. Okay, so that was almost all of my free watching time went into Roswell. I just was watching Agent Carter before we recorded. I'm really digging it, but, you know... The thing that Tony talked about, where, you know, the men are a little more inane, is kind of rearing its ugly head in this last episode.
Okay.
But considering I got another 15 minutes left, and I think there's one more episode because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back in March, I'm interested to see where it goes. At this point, you know, it's probably a minor spoiler, but I thought there would be more Howard Stark. But there's enough meat for Carter and Jarvis.
Yeah. What Tony was saying with, you know, the buffoons she was dealing with, they were mostly the people within her own agency.
Right.
Like, the bad guys never really, you know, they're just out to, once they figure out what side she's on, they're just out to kill her. They're not, you know, pussyfooting around or treating her like, you know, oh, she's just a woman. It's like, oh, you're in my way? Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to kill you. Seriously. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm a badass. You're mistaken.
But the
way the people in her office treat her is definitely, I definitely understand that side of it. But I don't feel like every man in the show is acting that way, at least not at this point. But like I said, I've only seen the 2-hour pilot.
Yeah, it's hard. It is a little hard to take considering how, you know, integral she was in the first Captain America, that she, you know, it seems like she's taken a huge step back.
Right, right.
That they could have, you know, there could have been more of a compromise. But it has to do with the story they're trying to tell. So I'm definitely enjoying Agent Carter, and I also can't wait for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to come back. I've heard some minor casting news, but it's not really worth going into at this point. Let me see what else. Haven't watched any more Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, there hasn't been any. Oh, I had, as of the last time we talked, I had not watched the newest episode. Was it Vision of Hope?
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that episode. I really did. I really the turn with the senator in exile.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was really interesting. I saw it coming just a few minutes before it happened. Brittany was actually sitting there watching it with me and Aubrey. And I'm like, oh, that guy, he's a jerk. And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, oh, just wait. I'm like, he's a jerk. And then she's watching, she's getting into it. And she's like, oh my goodness, she's in trouble. I said, no, she's not. He's like, why not? Why isn't she? I said, because Hera's just that good. She's not in trouble. She figured it out. She figured it out probably before I did.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I just thought it was funny. I enjoyed it.
We watched Roswell, and I caught up on Walking Dead. Walking Dead came back a couple weeks ago, so I'm still enjoying that. So I think that's enough of my share time. So unless you have anything else to add, let's exit from share time and let's go to news. Art, what do you have? Do you have a lot of news?
Well, why don't you kick off? Because you definitely have more than me.
Okay. Well, we have a little more news about the Daredevil. That's going to be out on Netflix pretty soon. They've revealed the first three titles of the episodes. It looks like it's going to be, I don't want to say super, but it's going to have strong violence through all three of the episodes. Obviously with any of these comic stories, I mean, you could either go to the lighter side or to the stronger side, and they're definitely going to the stronger side. From what I see. So the first episode is Man Without Fear. Second episode is called Into the Ring. And the third episode is called Cut Man. No, I'm sorry. Episode 2 is called Cut Man. And the third episode is Rabbit in a Snowstorm. All right. The director of the first two is Phil Abraham, who directed The Sopranos. He's also directed several episodes of Orange is the New Black and Mad Men. And the director on the third one was someone who did Falling Skies and Being Human.
Interesting.
Just a reminder, it premieres April 10th on Netflix. And I'm not a huge Daredevil fan, but I'm really looking forward to, cause, I mean, with Netflix, Marvel could be going after a completely different tone. Just based on the parental advisories, we're going to see, you know, if it's just Daredevil or if, you know, the subsequent three series, Iron Fist, Power Man, or Luke Cage, and is it Jessica Jones? I think it's Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones, yep.
So we'll see. Obviously, this is another phase in the Marvel, I don't know if you want to call it timeline or plan or whatever. So, all right, Art, what do you got?
Okay. So I don't know how to approach this, but where are you at with Star Wars 7? Are you tuning it out? Are you watching what's going on? Are you watching the stories? Because they are newsing it up all over the place, and a big piece of information kind of dropped, and I am hesitant to go into it because of how spoilery it is, but I will just say, you know, this is a non-news news story. But the latest news is, something major happening in the storyline. If you want to find out what it is, just go out there and look for Star Wars Episode 7 spoilers, and it's everywhere right now. And I will leave it at that.
Okay. I've kind of heard more news on the merchandising side. that you know, they're going to have, you know, the X-Wing minis game, they're going to have Episode 7 ships, so Fantasy Flight.
Oh, well, obviously.
Fantasy Flight's going to be involved, and I got an email from Think Geek that they're going to have, you know, apparel and lunchboxes and all this other kind of stuff.
So, you know, I heard a story that all Fantasy Flight employees will now be walking around with giant nets for you to throw money at them so they can catch it. That's what I heard.
Yeah, well, yeah, I heard lines of credit, but same thing.
Any and all forms of payment will be accepted, a pound of flesh included. Yeah, I look at those minis and man, I want them all, and I'm like, I have the base game that I still have not even gotten to the table, so it's like I can't justify buying anything.
I'm exactly where you're at. There's one more expansion set I want to buy, and I think that's probably going to be it. You know, they're coming out with the Scum and Villainy, so so it's more EU type ships.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just looking at if they look cool. I'm not necessarily, you know, if it's someone's ship. I think one of the ships is going to be IG-88's ship.
Yep, I heard that.
Yeah, so I might have to track that down. But I follow the SoCal X-Wing Facebook group, and a lot of people are saying that, you know, they're going to sell out quick. So I'm just gonna let it go.
Yeah, well,
I'm just gonna let it go, and maybe, you know,
even if they do sell out quick, they'll make more.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Buy all you want, they'll make more. I seriously want to buy an Outrider just to put on my shelf. I just love that ship. Ever since Shadows of the Empire, I played the hell out of that game on the N64.
Oh, okay.
Moving on. What do you got?
Okay, so apparently Robert Downey Jr. has done a big interview with Empire Magazine, so you can see basically what I'm looking at right now at EmpireOnline.com, and you know, he's mainly talking about his role in the impending Avengers 2 Age of Ultron and what it was like to work with James Spader again, because I guess he, one of Robert Downey Jr.'s very first movies was with James Spader, and you know, they asked him about what Spader's going to be doing as Ultron, and he says he's coming in and doing this jazzy Shakespearean thing, which is what is in Joss Whedon's wheelhouse, if you've seen Much Ado About Nothing.
Right, right.
And he also talked about, you know, kind of where Tony's at for Avengers 2, and also how Tony Stark's going to, you know, because he's going to be in the next Captain America. And he's not necessarily going to be friends with Chris Evans. And I guess he has signed on for more movies. Because there are rumors that Avengers 2 is going to be his last movie. But you know, now that he's going to be in the next Captain America, and I don't know how much or how many more movies he's going to be in. But he mentioned himself that, you know, he's going to be 50 doing press for Avengers 2.
Right.
So, I mean, it's got to be coming to an end anyways, but I am, you know, it's been no secret. I'm excited for everything that Marvel's doing, except Ant-Man. I don't know about Ant-Man, but, it should be a great summer and December based on Star Wars and the Marvel movies.
Yes.
They're coming out. Okay. Art, what do you got next?
It's a good time to be a geek. That's for sure.
Yes.
All right. Deadpool just cast Firefly's Marina Baccarin. So they had a list of women they were looking at to be the female lead in the Deadpool movie. But the one they came down on was Marina Baccarin. They are still keeping under wraps who she will be playing.
Of course.
The character they described who she will be playing. Attractive and worldly, smart, tough, beautiful, but a little bit broken. Nothing has ever been easy for her, and she's developed a thick skin and cynical outlook. But she's not a victim. She may not have a great life, but she's holding it together and does what she needs to get by. She's got a great sense of humor, but it leans heavily towards irony and sarcasm. The writer of the article was guessing that maybe Domino a mutant who was born in a government breeding program. She rolled with the X-Force. She was rolling with X-Force for a while when it was headed up by Cable. But other people were thinking Copycat, a shape-shifting mutant who was a prostitute and Deadpool's girlfriend before the horrific medical experiments that turned him into Deadpool. So we got a couple of leads. We'll see if either one of those comes true. But hey, Marina Baccarin, I like the choice.
Do you know who Ronda Rousey is?
The name sounds familiar, but not off the top of my head.
She's a MMA star.
Oh, okay.
She was in one, I guess, the most recent Expendables. I heard that she was going to have a smaller part in this movie. Or wait a minute, I might be getting mixed up. Let me come back next week because I don't know if it's her or Carano that's going to be in Deadpool.
I got you.
Yeah.
Carano, I know.
Yeah.
For sure, but. Yeah. Ronda Rousey sounds familiar. Probably heard the name somewhere bandied about. Okay, well, next.
Okay, this one's a biggie, and we could have talked about it 2 weeks ago, but we decided not to. And I don't think we talked about. Did we talk about Spider-Man?
I don't know.
Spider-Man is now going to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So he could
think it had been official as of 2 weeks ago.
So the deal is, you know, obviously I think they're done. I don't think they're doing any additional principal photography for Avengers 2, but he could be in a Captain America 3 or in any of the other Marvel movies that they decide to put Spider-Man in. And before this happened, you know, there was rumors with the Sony, computer breach.
Right.
That there were talks between the two on how they were going to make it work. And the conventional wisdom was that how much money is Marvel going to have to shell out to do this? And that would make it, you know, prohibitive. I mean, how you put a dollar amount on that kind of thing. Well, the two sides got together and realized that there's going to be no cash that changes hands between the two companies with this agreement, which makes it very interesting.
Okay.
So the deal that they made was on the Sony side that Sony's going to allow Spider-Man character to be in any of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, but Sony does not get a dime from any of the Marvel or the MCU movies that Spider-Man is in.
Okay.
On the other side, Marvel does not get any money for any of the new Sony rebooted for the third time Spider-Man movies, or second time, depending on your math. Now, so we're very excited about Spider-Man is going to be in more movies. Apparently, they're still going to keep going with Sinister Six, but Andrew Garfield is now not Spider-Man anymore. They're going to cast a new person.
Right.
I heard a week ago that two names that came up were Logan Lerman from Percy Jackson.
Okay.
And Dylan O'Brien, who is one of my daughter's favorite actors, who I can only say is the hot guy from Maze Runner. That's what she's told me.
Okay.
Now, kind of a lesser known detail about this story is that Marvel headman or point man for most of these movies, other than Joss, Kevin Feige, is going to be writing the story for the next Sony Spider-Man movie. So someone from Marvel is going to be writing Sony Spider-Man movie. And he's already said he's going back to high school.
Okay.
He's going back to high school and we're done. You're not going to get an origin story.
Good.
You've seen it twice already.
Yep.
We're just going to jump into it.
Good.
Which, you know, that was a big thing in Guardians.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about this. Now, how good it's going to be, we'll see. but yeah, so Kevin Feige just became a lot more busy.
I think it's a very interesting deal. It's what I think makes sense, and I'm just very surprised that both sides managed to get to that point.
Well, I think that Sony was disappointed with the latest Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
And they realize they need to get Spidey out. You know, the more Spidey appears in movies, the better it's going to be for all the movies.
Just to get Spider-Man to appear in a good movie, like an extremely good movie. Here, free PR? Okay, go ahead. Use the character. It just made sense to say, yeah, put him in that movie, because that movie is going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. It's going to get, millions of people to go see Spider-Man. I just think it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It's just good PR. Plus, it's good PR. I mean, it's not just good, like, good to get your guy in front of an audience, but it also, the people who pay attention on the back end, like us, look at Sony and say, okay, I've got a little more respect for you now. Maybe I'll go see the next movie.
Right, right. All right, Art, what do you got next?
All right, next up. Actually, this is the only other thing I have, but I thought it was very interesting. Did you see The Prestige? You saw The Prestige, right?
No, I have not. Actually, have it. I have a Netflix envelope on my desk. Yes, I'm still one of the guys that still gets the DVDs, but it's been sitting at my desk for like a month.
Okay.
But I keep getting things from the library, and I feel pressure because I know people at the library that I need to get them back on time. So, but I'm still trying to get through that Bollywood movie, Bang Bang. So as soon as I get done with that, I'll put in The Prestige, because the only reason I did that, because there was a subreddit talking about Christopher Nolan movies, and some people were saying, what was his best, encapsulated movie, or, just the movie. And, Prestige came up more than any other movie.
Prestige is really good. Prestige kind of blew my mind. And this article is talking about the ending of The Prestige. So I will not go any further. I will just say that it made some interesting points. Because as a Nolan movie, there are always more things going on than you realize.
Yeah.
And so I watched the movie, and, I came to the same conclusions that the writer came to. And I didn't look any deeper. And there are some interesting things there that I think deserve a rewatching. So I'm going to probably put this on my – I'm going to move this on the list, move this down to the shelf of things I would like to watch in the near future. To rewatch this and kind of take some of these things into account. And so we should make a point of revisiting this in the future after we have both rewatched this movie, or after I've rewatched and you have watched for the first time. But yes, out of the Batman movies, this movie, Inception, I really enjoy all of his movies. This one is I like a little better, just the way it, like you said, it was a single encapsulated movie, and I had a real thing for magicians when I was a kid, so another reason I think why this held a special place in my heart. Go watch that movie, it's a good one, and we'll talk about it a little more when you watch it.
Okay, I might be able. I'll probably get that done by next week, so that we can talk about it next week.
No rush. Somebody was telling me to watch Pacific Rim for months before I finally got it. Watched. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, somebody was. We don't forget who that was. Thank you, Brittany. Okay, so I have two mini news stories, and number one is, if you're excited about Pirates of the Caribbean 5. You can now rest easy, because the title is Dead Men Tell No Tales. So, Pirates of the Caribbean, : Dead Men Tell No Tales. The villain, the nemesis for Captain Jack Sparrow, will be Javier Bardem.
Okay.
Thrust into an all-new adventure, a down-on-his-luck Captain Jack Sparrow finds the winds of ill fortune blowing even more strongly when deadly ghost pirates led by his old nemesis, the terrifying Captain Salazar, escape from the Devil's Triangle, determined to kill every pirate at sea, including him. Captain Jack's only hope of survival lies in seeking out the legendary Trident of Poseidon, a powerful artifact that bestows upon its possessor total control over the seas. So, yeah. I don't know how I feel about the Greek, mythological artifact in this universe, but, I guess more Jack Sparrow would be fun, though. Yeah. At least I hope. There better be a shit bet on this one, though. That's all I'm going to say. And the other one is...
Wait. I'm sorry. I'm pulling an audible.
What?
I forgot about the news story that was brought to me by Brittany.
Okay, go ahead.
So I just did a quick search. Pixar is making Toy Story 4.
Wow.
So I was on the phone with Brittany today, and she asked me, have you heard about Toy Story 4? And I said, no. And she said, it's official. They're making Toy Story 4. Boom. And that's exactly what she said to me. So she threw it in my face because I'm on a movie podcast and I didn't know Pixar is making Toy Story 4. So we have a film will be released June 16th, 2017. They're coming back for another installment. And that's all I get. That was announced I don't know when. But
all right, so my last news story, and the more I've been reading about this, the more I don't know. I'm getting a little chilled about this. There's good parts and bad parts. New Alien movie confirmed with director Neil Blomkamp, who we'll be talking about soon because Chappie comes out in 2 weeks.
Yes.
So the same guy who did District 9 and Elysium and now Chappie, he will now be directing what I hear is an Alien reboot. But Ridley Scott is a producer, and they're going to make sure that it stays concurrent or the continuity remains the same in the Prometheus universe.
Interesting. Okay.
So they're going to say the Alien movie takes place years after the next Prometheus movie.
Interesting.
There's no release date or anything. Obviously, they just started working on it. So, we'll see. I could probably stand, maybe some new Alien movies. I don't know. What do you think?
See, I think I am in the position with Aliens that you are with Terminator.
Yeah.
I think I've had enough of the Aliens. I don't know. It's going to have to be something special. The preview is really going to have to catch me to get me interested. I did see the full Chappie trailer. Mm-hmm. And... wow, that looks really interesting. I am very interested in that. But Aliens, not so much.
All right, do you have any more news?
I do not.
All right, so we've reached the end of the show. So listeners, if you feel like leaving us a comment, you can go to backseatproducers.com and let us know what we did wrong, what we did right. We forgot to talk about this, whatever you want to say. There is also, Art and I both are on Twitter. I am at JB63, JAYBEE63. Art is at, I think you're Art Santos Jr., is that correct?
Arthur Santos Jr., just full name, yep.
Okay. And also, if you, we used to get voicemails back when we were doing the contest and all that other jazz. But if you go to backseatproducers.com, you can, the voicemail number is on the left. There's also a button on there if you'd like the, Tony's phone to call you so you don't incur any long distance charges. Other than that, do you have anything else to say, Art?
I don't. I mean, but does anybody even get charged long distance anymore? I don't understand that.
I don't know.
I don't think we live in that world anymore. It seems antiquated to even say in this day and age. Unless you're calling from your landline at your house, which, wait, who has those? I don't know. Go watch a movie. Don't worry about these things. I don't know. And yeah, if you want to hear, you can hear yourself on the show because we will insert the voicemail into the show. You want to hear yourself on the show? Give us a call.
And so with that, this has been Backseat Box Office. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, and thank you for listening.